Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Then Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the lake while he sent the people away. After sending the people away, he went up a hill by himself to pray. When evening came, Jesus was there alone, and by this time the boat was far out in the lake, tossed about by the waves because the wind was blowing against it. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to the disciples, walking on the water. When they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and screamed with fear. Jesus spoke to them at once. "Courage," he said, "it is I. Don't be afraid." Then Peter spoke up. "Lord, if it is really you, order me to come out on the water to you." "Come," answered Jesus. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water to Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he was afraid and started to sink down in the water. "Save me, Lord," he cried. At once Jesus reached out and grabbed hold of him and said, "What little faith you have. Why did you doubt?" They both got into the boat and the wind died down. Then the disciples in the boat worshiped Jesus. "Truly you are the Son of God," they exclaimed. May we join in our song of meditation, number 397.
Children will be dismissed at this time and go with Pam. I've asked the choir if they would come down and join the congregation to be part of you during the message time, to be able to sit with their families as well, and so that's what they are doing. Now will you pray with me? Lord, open our ears and our eyes to hear and see what you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One summer when my husband Dave was in college, he worked at a summer camp for kids with diabetes. And there was one week that summer when a whole bunch of kids from inner city Detroit came up to spend the week at camp. Dave was working as a lifeguard at that time, and what they would do one afternoon, one of the first days, they would bring the kids out on the dock, and then they would have to give them a swimming test. Those of you who have gone to camp, you probably had to do this. And the dock was U-shaped, and so if they could swim from one part of the U to the other, then they were allowed to swim out to the raft, which was farther out in the lake. So they were testing kids, and the other counselor asked this one boy when he stepped up, she said, okay, now jump into the water and swim over to that part of the dock. Well, this young boy jumped into the water and immediately sank right to the bottom. And Dave and the other counselor kind of looked down, and he didn't move. He was just sitting down there, and they saw him kind of looking around. And finally, Dave jumped in after him and pulled him up, and he was kind of spluttering and spitting water. And he said, did you know you can't breathe down there? He had never, ever been in water before, never even tried to swim, never had a lesson. So he learned very quickly that not only can you not breathe underwater, but you can't stay up on top either. Now, water has both the power to refresh and the power to destroy. Our younger son, Nathan, works for World Vision International. Now, you may know that as a Christian humanitarian aid organization that works all over the world, particularly in third world countries. As part of his job, he does a lot of traveling internationally, and a few years ago, he went to Albania to attend a conference with the World Vision workers in Albania. And it turned out, it was a conference, but it turned out to be an extreme experience. They had what was advertised as a group building gorge hike, a recreational gorge hike, that turned into being an adrenaline rush of navigating rapids and scaling 50-foot cliffs. And they had advertised that they might get a bit wet. But there are a group of 25 of the people in this group, and they set out on this team-building activity, this adventure, and they hiked alongside this river gorge, forging a path as they went. There wasn't really a path there. And beside them was this powerful current of water that was racing over and around boulders and creating rapids in this narrow gorge that was about 20 feet wide with 50-foot sheer cliffs on either side. Well, they tried to stay dry as long as they could, but it pretty soon became, they could tell that they were going to have to get wet because eventually the path disappeared. And so Nathan's first step into the frigid water was uncomfortable, but then with his second step, he slipped on a smooth rock, as you can do, and ended up face first in the water. Fortunately, there were a couple people to grab him up before he got taken away with the current. Navigating this gorge was tricky business for the group, and they soon realized that the best method was to form a human chain and all link together and supporting one another. Well, we're going to leave Nathan and his group in the gorge for a minute, and we're going to look at this passage of scripture that Dave just read to us from Matthew. A familiar story. It comes right after the feeding of the 5,000. And it's been a long day and a busy day for Jesus. He's tired. The disciples are tired. And so he sends the disciples on ahead in the boat to go over, and he'll meet them on the other side of the lake. And then he goes off to pray, something Jesus did often. He needed time to be away by himself and to be with his Father. But then the scripture tells us that a storm came up on the lake, which is very common on those lakes. And the winds were whipping around and the waves were high. And the disciples by this time are out in the middle of the lake in that little boat. And scripture tells us that it's the fourth watch, or about between 3 and 6 in the morning, before dawn. And Jesus goes out to meet them by walking on the water, and they see this apparition coming toward them. And of course, their first thought is it's a ghost, because nobody can walk on water. And they are scared to death, something I think we could all understand. But then Jesus identifies himself, and he tells them, come on, don't be afraid, it's me. And then we see good old impulsive Peter, one of my favorite Bible people. And he says to Jesus, you know, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus simply says, come. Now, I think that Peter was trying to show that he just wanted to be close to Jesus, especially in the midst of this storm. Some people think that he was trying to show off in front of the other disciples or show that he had more faith than them. You know, people who walk by faith can't do anything unless they're closer to Jesus. You know, James tells us that when we draw close to God, He draws close to us. We can't stay where we are and get closer to Jesus. And so if we're like Peter, and we believe that Jesus is who He says He is, then we ought to want to get closer and have closer fellowship with Him. But the thing that really made Peter want to get closer was because of the storm that was raging around him. Now, I believe that God allows. He doesn't cause, but He allows the storms in our lives to find out if we are willing to walk by faith and not by sight. Our storms, both personally and within the church, ought to draw us closer to Jesus. Now, did you notice that the other disciples stayed in the boat and they didn't follow Peter's walk of faith? You know, the rest of them were kind of satisfied to just stay in the boat. That was their comfort zone, and they might understand that too. Not everybody's going to get out of the boat and walk on the water with us, you know, but we can't let the boat sitter stop us from walking on the water. Everyone doesn't walk by faith, but they kind of like to see what's coming next. Now, can't you just hear Doubting Thomas in the back of the boat saying, "Hey, man, you know, you better stay in the boat. You have never walked on water before. What makes you think you can do it this time?" But we forget that when Peter stepped out of the boat, he did walk on the water. But the first thing we think about is, oh yeah, that's a story about Jesus walking on the water and Peter tries and then he sinks. But we forget that he did walk on the water. He did have some success before he began to sink. And the reason that he had success was because he had faith in the word of the Lord. Jesus simply said, "Come." And Peter stepped out on just that one word. Because Jesus told Peter to come, he obeyed. And he trusted the word, capital W, as Jesus is referred to in the Gospel of John. Yes, the water was deep. Yes, the winds were strong. The waves were high. But Peter stepped out on the word of Jesus. And we, as individuals and as a church, are called to step out on the word of the Lord, knowing that we can trust God to hold us up. So Peter starts out walking on the water, but then we know that he does begin to sink because he begins to look at his circumstances, the winds and the waves around him, and he starts to worry, and then he starts to sink. Don't we do that sometimes too? We take our eyes off of Jesus, and we put them on what's happening in our lives. As individuals, it might be a job loss, health concerns, broken relationships. And we allow those to cloud our vision. As a church, we may focus on things that may divide us, members who have left, disappointment with pastoral leadership, change and transition, and we let those things block our view of Jesus. Peter started sinking in where he should have been walking on. And the only way to stay up was to walk by faith. Well, thank goodness, Peter didn't drown. As soon as he began sinking, he started to pray. He cried out, "Lord, save me." You know, when trouble came and his faith got weak, he didn't drown in his troubles. But he cried out to the Lord in prayer, which is what gives us power and strength. And then Matthew tells us that Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. I could just see him catching Peter up. Well, but after saving Peter, Jesus does admonish him for his lack of faith and doubting. Peter had seen Jesus do miracles over and over again. He'd seen him fill his whole boat with fish. He'd seen him heal his mother-in-law. He just saw him take 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed 5,000 men, plus women and children. But he forgets all of that when it's his storm, and he begins to take his eyes off of Jesus. We too have seen how the Lord has led in the past. And while we celebrate that, we know we cannot go backwards. But neither can we remain idle, or we will be pulled beneath the surface and left only with the memory of our vision and mission. Let's go back to Nathan and that group in the gorge in Albania. Halfway down the gorge, they had to make a decision. Should they turn back and return to the way they came, or should they keep moving through the cold water? Well, there were some that preferred to turn around and go back. At least we know where we came from. And there were some that even wanted to attempt to just to climb out right where they were, while still others thought it was best to continue downstream. As a church, sometimes there are those who want to turn back to the way it used to be. Remember when we had all kinds of children and youth and young families and ABW and AB Men and AB Youth? We long for those days. Wouldn't it be great if the sanctuary was completely full every single Sunday? I don't think there's anyone that would disagree with that. But we are in a different day and time. And the church has changed, our culture has changed, and the needs have changed. And so we need to be thinking of ways of doing ministry to meet those changing needs. There are others who might want to just get out of the situation with a quick fix. All we have to do is get a permanent pastor right away, or hire someone and pay them to help us grow our youth and children's ministries. It's kind of like trying to climb up the cliff wall. But none of those options are really the solution. If the people hiking that gorge that day in Albania had split up, with some going back the way they came, some getting out with a quick fix, and some moving ahead, none of them would have made it. After some quick thinking, the gorge hikers realized that they all had to push forward. Returning would be unwise, if not impossible. And the team building exercise would have been a failure if the group had split up and gone in different ways. And since they were approaching the most challenging part of the gorge, they knew that they had to move forward together. Just as a river cuts through solid rock to form a narrow gorge, water has the force to carve out a path through new territory. And like water, the important ministry that you are called to right here has the power to forge new territory for you. Much like the tricky process of traversing the waters of that gorge, you have the task of navigating through the stream of transition and change that we are in the midst of. It can certainly be uncomfortable as we make our way through these waters. And we may be in the most challenging part of this journey. However, if we join together and we support one another, we can carry the shared vision and mission forward. Peter shows us that we must be willing to step out based on the call that we have from the Lord. And rather than focusing on the past or our current circumstances, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, which is the only way to avoid sinking. Now, there were some anxious moments for those gorge hikers, and the final rapid when several people ended up underwater for several seconds. However, all of them successfully made it out of the gorge and up a steep cliff of about 200 feet of thorn bushes and rocks. First Baptist still has mountains to climb, and there will be thorns along the way. But by the time those hikers reached the top of the mountain, They felt like conquerors, and so will you. I believe God wants and allows these times of transition to see if we are willing to do extraordinary walking on water things, and if we will indeed stay focused on Jesus. But we all must form a chain and forge ahead through the waters of transition and change, trusting that God will supply our needs. He will meet our challenges, and He will lead us out in His timing. You all have the opportunity at the end of this month to come to the leadership retreat while we will come together. We will form that change and we will begin to think about how God is calling us forward and how we might take those next steps. But we have to be willing to work together, to take risks, to make changes, and to get out of the boat. Jesus is saying to all of us today, come on, let's walk on the water together. Lord, you call us, and you simply say, come. Help us to respond to that, to trust you, and to step out in faith for what you have for us in the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our song of response is Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult, number 503, as we prepare for our time of communion. You may be seated. Jesus calls us. He calls us to come. He calls us to follow. And He calls us to remember what He did for us on the cross. And this morning, we have the opportunity to come and remember with the bread and the cup His sacrifice for us. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your coming into the world to show us the face of God, to show us His love, to show us how we can have a relationship with Him. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for this bread and this cup that is a reminder of that. Help us to take it and to remember and not to forget. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remember at the Passover dinner on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, said a prayer, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body."
That same meal, after he had passed the bread to the disciples, he took one of the cups on the table and he said, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood." And then he passed it among his disciples for them to drink. Peter stepped out of the boat when Jesus said, "Come." Jesus now says to us, "Take and drink." You know that they sang a hymn that was familiar to them that night. We don't know what it was, but we have a hymn that we sing for our communion services, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." This is that gorge group holding hands together in a circle to move ahead in the future. So let's stand and form our fellowship circle around our sanctuary. "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds."
Glory, majesty, might, and glory. All ages.